you all stand, please? Welcome to Abbott Loop Community Church. We're going to praise the Lord this morning. Come on, here we go. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down. Joy of the Lord. And I'm trading my sickness, yeah. I'm trading my sickness. Yes, Lord, amen. I'm pressed, but I'm not crushed. I'm pressed, but not crushed. Blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, and his joy is gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. Yes, he does. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down. The joy of the Lord. Oh, whoa, whoa. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. Oh, I'm laying them down. The joy of the Lord. Let's sing, yes, Lord. Here we go. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. 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 Amen. Let's sing that again. Yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. 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 Amen. I'm trading my sorrows. Here we go. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. Sing it out. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Oh, and I'm trading my sickness.
I'm trading my sickness.
My pain. Laying it all down, yeah. The joy of the Lord. Here we go. Yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, whoa, we say yes, Lord, 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 yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Today. Amen. We have a couple baptisms we'd like to do today, and so I'd like to introduce you to Chandra and Victoria. And Chandra, you come here real quick. Chandra has been, Chandra, could you come here real quick? Chandra has been a lifelong friend of my wife's, which is an awesome blessing. I get the opportunity to baptize her today. And she gave her heart to the Lord a few years ago, and she has been radically serving him ever since. Amen. This is good, so we're going to do it. And this is Victoria over here. Victoria, why don't you come here? We'll. So, Victoria, how long have you been a believer?
Ever since I was 5.
So why do you want to be baptized today?
Just to be obedient and to let God do his perfect work in me to the fullness.
Amen. That sounds pretty good. Yeah. All right, we just want to encourage you to just be praying for these two and just rejoice with us when they come out of the waters of baptism. Pastor Rick.
We're going to pray. I'm here today to give thanks to God. It's been quite a week. How about for you? By the grace of God, we made it through some stuff this week. It's been quite a month, as a matter of fact, and I'm just glad to be here, and I feel a great sense of thanksgiving to God for his help through a hard situation at Abbott Loop. We'll talk about that later on today, and I hope you can stay and hear all about it, but right now we're just here to thank God. How many want to say thank God for taking me through this month in my life too? Amen. So That's what we're going to do, and Justin's going to lead us, and I'm going to pray now and just lift up our hearts to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you now in prayer. We thank you for your love, for your great faithfulness, for bringing us through this week. You bring us through every week of our lives, all the time. Forgive us for not always being thankful for the way you do. And for every month of our lives, you're there, you're faithful, your grace is always there every day. And we thank you for that. So we come now with our hearts full of love and worship for you. We want to praise you now and give you thanks today and bless this time we ask and this time of worship and all the things we have planned for today. Let your Holy Spirit just move and flow all over this place and touch people. Let people know you today. Let it all be about you and how great you are and your great love. And what a wonderful God you are. We love you, we thank you, we worship you today. And we give this morning and this whole day and this whole week to you once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's worship God.
Lord, oh how we love you, Lord, oh how we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Who am I? You are mindful of me. That you hear me when I call. Is it true? You are thinking of me. That you love me. It's amazing. 'Cause I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Sing, I am. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I? You are mindful of me. That you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? You love me. Oh, it's amazing. 'Cause I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Oh, and I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Friend of God, he calls me friend. Friend of God, yeah, calls me friend. Sing God Almighty.
God Almighty, Lord of
spread out the skies. Such a wonderful God. Such a wonderful Father. Leads to such wonderful hope. Wonderful hope we have in you, O God. Go. To you, O Lord. lift my soul. In you, oh God, I place my trust. Sing it out.
Do not let me be put to shame, or let my enemies triumph over me. My hope is in you. Show me your way. Guide me and true in all my days. My hope is in you.
I am alone, filled with your love.
I am alone, filled with your love. You are, oh God,
my salvation, grow and guard my life and rescue me.
My broken spirit shouts,
Lord, my bended heart cries out,
my hope is in you. Show me your way, guide me in truth in all my days. My hope is in you.
To you, O Lord, I lift.
To you, O Lord.
Sing it out.
I lift my soul. And in you, O God, I place my trust.
Oh, do not let me be put to shame.
Let my enemies,
no, let them triumph over me.
My hope is in you. Show me your way. Guide me in truth in all my days. My hope is in you.
Show me your ways.
Guide me in truth in all my days. My hope is in you.
I am alone, fill me with your love.
When I am alone, fill me with your love. You are, oh God, my salvation.
Oh, and guard my life
and rescue me.
Won't you rescue me?
My broken spirit shouts.
Whoa, my bended heart cries out.
My hope is in you. Show me your ways. Guide me in truth in all my days. My hope is in you.
My hope is in you.
My hope is in you.
My hope is in you. Come on, sing with my hope.
My hope is in you.
My hope is in you.
My hope is in you.
My hope is in you. We hope in you, God. We give you praise today. Would you continue listening?
Belia sulla Maria Sindar Catalabase, Aisu cuia tamareande, la misu cuia tababasetala, Eria suma la babasinda le cuia da, Isatamabasu turia, Leo samande pocura ramaida, E la usa tamaisi bebunda la masse, Carito usanda mama, Isato boria sita.
The Bible teaches about
what's called speaking in tongues, speaking another language. Like any language, the purpose is communication. We understand God's purpose here is God is speaking to us, communicating to us. Now we're going to hear the explanation of what we just heard.
The Spirit of the Lord would say, this is a day to hope in the Lord. This is a day to hope in the Lord your God.
Yeah.
For this is a troubled day and a perplexing day. When there are many hardships and many troubles. And I, the Lord, shall deliver you out of them all, says the Lord.
Thank you, God.
For I am the Lord of truth. Yeah. And I honor my own, says the Lord. I honor my people. Do not be ashamed of me. Do not be afraid in this day. But humble yourselves and call upon me in this day, says the Lord. For my heart is open to you and my ear is open to you. And surely I can perform on your behalf. Surely the Lord who created all the earth, the ends of the earth, can perform on your behalf.
Yes.
For do not I heal the sick? Do not I set the lame free? Do I have to deliver you from every bondage? Haven't I mended your broken hearts? Haven't I given you new hopes and a new future and a new life? Have faith in me, says the Lord. Lift up your eyes and have faith on the Lord your God. For this is the hour of faith. Let your whole heart be trust in me.
Let's just respond to these words in prayer now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for these encouraging words. Thank you that you make this invitation to us, that we can hope in you and trust in you during hard times and confusing times. And we do thank you for all the times you have healed us and shown your greatness and goodness to us and for your creation of all things. Like you said, we can trust you, God, and we do. Help us, God, to not be ashamed of you, to be thankful for you and let the world know how great you are and how much we put our faith in you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us and encouraging us today. Amen. I need to write something down. Good morning and thanks to all of you for being here. Longtime Abbott Loop members, first-time visitors, everybody in between. We're glad you're here today. We have a visitor's reception we do after the service every Sunday. If you're a guest today, we invite you there. It's at the end of the lobby right out there. You'll see it. Thanks to everyone for being here. We hope you're blessed, and we hope that being here today is a blessing for you and for this day and for this whole week for you. We have the Sunday bulletin, all kinds of important information and activities around this church. A big one coming up next month on March 12th, we begin 40 days with Jesus. It's during the period of Lent. Now, Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday, March 1st, if you want to really follow through with Lent. But we're going to start 40 days with Jesus on March the 12th. We have a video presentation to explain a little bit about this campaign. So let's watch that video about 40 days with Jesus right now.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, heart fear? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. That day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah.
What we're going to do is read the Gospel of John together as a church. It talks about that in this paragraph right here in the middle of your program today. Last year, about a year and a half ago, we read Rick Warren's book, 40 Days of Purpose. Purpose-Driven Life is the name of the book. And now we're going to read John's book, written by the Holy Spirit, the Gospel of John. And so it'll be in church services here and the messages on Sunday. It'll be in the youth groups during the week. It'll be in small groups all across the city during the week. And like it said, we need some host homes. Now, to do this, we're going to have a DVD that has clips from a movie about the Gospel of John. You saw some scenes from that movie. And also teaching from me, going through some key stories in the Gospel of John. Some of them were up there, like Jesus healing the blind man and so on. And so we have booklets that have memory verses. We're going to memorize a verse from John every week during these 40 days. It's got the lessons for the small groups. It's got the whole schedule of reading. So you're reading about half a chapter of John every day during this time. But we do need some more host homes. And I want to tell you a story about that. I read a book about a guy who was talking about how to share your faith in Jesus with somebody else. And what he did, he said he would invite people to study the Gospel of John, the very same book we're going to study. Because John was written, and he said so in the end of the Gospel of John, I'll quote it, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So this author said that he would get people together who are not Christians, not from a church background, never read the Bible before, and they just start reading John together, week by week in a small group in his home. And at the beginning, they'd have all kinds of weird ideas and strange interpretations, and he had to kind of, you know, just bite his tongue and not try to correct all those crazy ideas and wild things they were saying, you know. But he said he would watch every time he did it, as they went through the chapters in John, chapter 3, 4, 5, 10, 11, 12, people began to convert. They became Christians. They became believers in Jesus. And he said, every time I'd watch the Bible and the Holy Spirit just simply bring people to Jesus. How exciting. I always wanted to try it. Now you have a chance. So it's not just for us, not just for Abbott Loop, but for your friends and family members who don't know Jesus yet, just invite them. Hey, you want to study the Gospel of John? You should do it once in your life. Just learn about Jesus, see what you think. And then just kind of sit back and watch God do it. How does that sound? Pretty cool. So we had about 7 or 8 volunteer last Sunday to be host homes. We can say this, if you can push a button on a DVD player, you can probably do this. You don't have to teach or prepare anything. We're trying to make it easy for you in that way. So is there anybody else who'd like to be a host home or a small group leader just during these 6 weeks? That's the only commitment, we promise. If you want to do it, raise your hand. Go ahead, just raise your hand. You want to be a host home leader? My wife's going to do it. That's a great idea. Vince wants to do it up at the Give and Take. Anybody else want to be a host home leader? Kim, you'd be great at it. Yes, thank you for raising your hand back there. Anybody else? We're taking photographs as you raise your hand. Thank you, Penny. No, we're not really, but we encourage you. You'd be great at it too, like we did before. That was terrific. Do it again. Yes. So after the service, see Frank Curry. Stand up, please, Pastor Frank Curry. There he is in the back, and he'll be out there in the lobby to take these names. If you're in a current small group, we ask you just to adapt and do this during the 40 days. Maybe break your small group into a couple smaller ones during this time. That's a good idea, too. Talk to Frank, talk to me, talk to Pastor Justin Ross, and we'll do this whole thing together. And we were going to have a meeting today about the small groups, and that's going to be next Sunday, March 5th, after church, for those who are looking forward to that. I hope that's all clear. Thank you very much. I'm going to tell you about one thing. It's not in the bulletin today. This weekend, I'm going to a retreat with pastors out in the valley. And what we did was we invited pastors from other countries and other cultures to come and talk to us about being pastors in this culture. Interesting, huh? And so we have a pastor from India, a pastor from Korea, and a pastor from Brazil. And they're all coming to Alaska to talk to us and talk to us about shepherding God's people through their eyes. I'm very excited about this. I think it could be very significant. And here's the cool thing. You can be part of this too, because we're going to have a big community gathering Sunday night next week in this room, March 5th at 6 p.m. And these three ministers will be here to share with all of us. It's a Churches of Anchorage gathering. There'll be many churches here, many pastors here. But it's not just for pastors. It's for all of you. So if you have a small group next Sunday, March 5th, think about bringing your whole group here on a field trip and hearing from these brothers. I think it'll be a very special opportunity. If you're interested in missions or cross-cultural ministry or anything like that, please be here next Sunday night. It's a big week this week for the Duke family. Rebecca's getting married on Saturday to a nice guy named Joel, and we're excited and happy for them. And some people are coming to visit. We have Mary Jill Callery here. She's been a missionary for 14 years. Wow. In Scotland since 1992, in Hungary since 1997. She leads a ministry called Certain Women. Where are you, Mary Jill? Stand up. It's good to have you here while you're here for the wedding and everything else. There she is. She's a good friend of the Duke's. And guess who else is coming for the wedding? Prophet Alan Ross is coming from Scotland. He's going to speak to us here next Sunday morning. And that's always great to have our good friend Alan with us. So be here for that. And a very special guest here today, our mayor, is in our church service with us here this morning. Isn't that awesome? I appreciate you coming so much. I appreciate you and your responsibility and all you do. You and I were both born in Anchorage. And your love for Anchorage comes through and your hard work, and so I appreciate that. I invited Mayor Mark to come to the give and take on Tuesday night to what we call the bridge, and he came. I appreciate that so much. And he's here now to make some comments about that, and we thank you for all you do. Please give a very warm and respectful and loving welcome to Anchorage Mayor Mark Begich. Come on up.
Very good. I'm not as tall as the pastor here. Thank you very much, and I'm going to ask a couple people to come up here in just a second. They don't know they're going to be asked to come up here. I have a little surprise for them. But before I do that, I really just want to thank Abbot Luke Community for what you do every day. And, you know, Pastor Rick, he serves as our chair of our ethics committee for the city, and we are happy he is there, let me tell you. And I give him a hard time. He's been working on that new rewrite for 5 years. But it will come. Everything comes back. You got to have faith, and he does. But also, again, to the church, I went to the Give and Take program. It is just awesome what you do in just a small space that you have to work in. And I was there, I don't know, 100 families, probably 200-300 people, lining up, but the volunteerism was just powerful to see it. And I have to tell you, as I go around the community, you know, the spirit is clearly there, but the spirit of Anchorage was right there in that room. Everyone working hard, double time, to make sure families got taken care of. And today I want to recognize over 30 years for this program, but specifically, and they don't know I'm going to ask them up here, so I'm not sure where they're all sitting, so I'm just going to ask if I can have Joe and Nyla Morgan come up here, and Anita Williams. They're all looking at each other like, what is he going to do to me? We have two. I'm missing one. Okay. Nyla's sick. We will pray for her, but please come up. I don't know how often Pastor Rick lets you stand up here, but I take advantage of the opportunities. So, you know, let me first read to you, you know, the Give and Take program, it is impressive. I mean, in 2005, 6 months, you've given out over 318,000 pounds of food, served over 11,600 families, and volunteered over 3,300 hours of service, when you think of this as a church opportunity here. Along with that, you have donated over 250,000 pounds of food to other agencies. It's an impressive organization. And these folks have done some extra special work. And I just want to, as mayor, I get this opportunity to do proclamations once in a while. And today is a very special one. And I just want to read if I can. And my staff always tells me, don't read the proclamations. Don't worry, Pastor Rick. This is one I'm reading because they always tell me it takes too long. But I said, this is too much of value here. So let me read it. Whereas every year, thousands of families in Anchorage are given hundreds of thousands of pounds of food and clothing for free as a result of hard work, dedication, and love of the Give and Take Food Cash staff and volunteers. And whereas the last 35 years, Abilute Community Church has been an example in our community as a church extending love and charity to the needy people of this great city. Whereas Joe and Nyla Morgan and Anita Williams have invested countless hours of their lives into the ministry of feeding and clothing those who have gone without. Whereas the hundreds of volunteers over the past 35 years who have invested their time and energy to serving at the Give and Take Food Cache to make sure there were an adequate number of hands helping. Whereas the people of Abilute Community Church have taken the words of Jesus at heart when he said in Matthew 25:35, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. Now, therefore, I, Mark Baggage, Mayor of Anchorage, Alaska, do hereby proclaim Sunday, February 26, 2006, as the Give and Take Food Cash Day in Anchorage, and urge everyone to join me in recognizing the wonderful work of the Give and Take Food Cash has done for the betterment of our community. And I'd like to present each one of you with one of these proclamations, and then Pastor Rick, I'll present you one also. But again, congratulations. Thank you for all the years of dedication you both have done, and Nyla also.
Thank you, Mark. Mark has a family, his wife Deborah, his little son Jacob, I think he's 3, and he was telling me how Sunday is a nice family time for them, and he actually is going to stay for the whole service, which we appreciate very much. And also I asked him permission if we could pray for him, and he said yes. And the Bible tells us to in 1 Timothy 2:1. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. And as I was asking him, somebody walked by and said, well, we pray for you all the time anyway. And that's the truth. But we're going to pray for Mayor Mark now, and so I just ask you to join with me in prayer for him. Father in heaven, thank you again. We come to you again in Jesus' name, and we pray for our mayor. The Bible teaches that you gave him this responsibility, this place of authority, and so we ask you, God, to give him every grace for the task. He needs wisdom every day. We ask you to give that to him. You know what's best for all the people of Anchorage. You love all the city of Anchorage so much, and these leaders, they're in your hands, the Bible says, and he's in your hands. We ask you to bless him, give him health and strength, and bless his family, bless Deborah and his little son Jacob there. And just let your love come through him and your wisdom to benefit all of us, as your word says, that we can all live quiet and peaceful lives in godliness and holiness. We pray for all of that, and we thank you for him, and just ask that he'll be blessed today, even by being here with us. Help me now, Lord, just to share your word in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 11. It's the second book of the New Testament. It's a very interesting story. The story of the fig tree. Mark 11, verse 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. That verse always makes me smile. His disciples heard him say it. He just talked to a tree. Yes, I know, I heard him say it. Now, some more stuff happened, and then verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. It was the very next day. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Our title for this message today is the words of Jesus in verse 22. Have faith in God. At the beginning of this year, the elders and wise of Abbot Loop, we fasted and prayed and got together and talked and prayed about this new year, what God wanted for Abbot Loop in 2006. And there were a lot of themes and a lot of great ideas for this year. But one emerged that sort of came through all and tied them all together. Faith. We believe, at least right now, we're in a season of faith. We believe God is challenging Abbot Loop to believe him for more. We're believing God for a year of increase. You know, we've always been frugal and careful, and we've always just gone by faith month to month, year by year, 46 years. But honestly, here at Abbot Loop, we've never really had an expectation of abundance and blessing and surplus and prosperity. In fact, in some ways, maybe we've been a little bit afraid of all that. I don't know why. People say, "Are you a faith church?" I want to say, yes, we are. What's the alternative? And I really feel God challenging me and all of us just to believe him for more and to be a faith church, whatever that means. Not a label, but a lifestyle. We want to start the year with a focus in worship and in preaching about God himself and who he is and how great and awesome he is. Vince Broussard spoke about God as a father, even as God is a grandfather even, you know, and he spoke about the loving father of the prodigal son in Jesus' parable. It was great. I spoke about a revelation of a holy God, like Isaiah who saw God high and lifted up and holy. But this holy God loves you enough to make a way for you and I to be with him. And Josh Tanner spoke about how good God is, how he wants to bless you. He wants good things for you. That's the way he is. That's his heart. And last week, Reed Moore was here. Wasn't that great? He spoke about how important it is to know God and really see him the way he really is, especially his love, to have a revelation of God's great love. And all this we're doing for you because we want you to see God better. Yeah, the old King James Version in the Psalm said, "Magnify the Lord." It's an old-fashioned word. And Reed said, it doesn't mean that you make anything bigger. You just see it more clearly. Well, in a way, we're trying to magnify the Lord. We can't make him bigger, but we want you to see him more clearly, the way he really is. So we hope after all this, you'll see God is more fatherly than you saw him before, or more holy, or more loving, or more good. He's all that. Now, you can have faith in that kind of God. The real question is, how big is your God? That's about how big is your faith. That's how it works. Because Jesus said in our verse here, have faith in God. Now notice he didn't just say have faith, period. Just believe. You know, like it's just sort of this force. Your faith is not a force. Your faith is in God who has the force. I'll probably say that too many times, too many ways, but that's the whole point. He didn't just say have faith, only believe, just in kind of some generic, vague, cosmic way. He said have faith in God. Very specific. He also did not say, have faith in yourself. You got to believe in yourself. You can wither a fig tree. You can move a mountain. Phooey, baloney. I couldn't wither an artificial plant. I don't have any faith in myself. Thank God. We're in trouble if our faith in ourselves. He didn't even say have faith in your faith. You know, like if you really believe you believe, then you really can believe and you can believe. I'm saying it in that silly way because it is silly. It's ridiculous to have faith in your own faith. He didn't say have faith in others. He didn't say have faith in the church and all that. The prophecy today, which I wrote down, the guy said, have faith in God, he said. He was encouraging us to have faith in God. That's the whole point. The faith is in him. The faith is in God himself, don't you see? What kind of a God is he? What kind of a person is he? It's faith in that. Faith in his character. Faith in his heart that doesn't change since yesterday. It's faith in how great he is. It's faith in his power that made all things. Faith in his faithfulness. That he's always there. Every time you speak, he hears you. Can you have faith in that kind of God? Yes, you can. I read one commentary. I'm just going to quote one. The man said, the solemnly introduced assurances of verse 23 and 24. Look down there. See those? Promises about whatever you ask for in prayer, it'll be yours, and so on. These solemnly introduced assurances, I love this language, are grounded explicitly on God's faithfulness and not on the ability of a man to banish from his heart the presumption of doubt. Faith is not about driving all the dots out of your mind. Give up on that. You never will anyway. Faith is in God, who I think doesn't have any doubts in his mind. Hallelujah. The day God has doubts in his mind, we're all in trouble, all right? And the man said, the concept of faith is a quiet confidence in the power and goodness of God who accomplishes everything. What it means is, in a way, you can limit God. I don't like saying those words because he is God and he's not limited by nobody or nothing. Bad grammar on purpose. But your faith can limit God in your own life. If you believe in a little weak God, that's about how much faith you can have. Don't you see? You can have great faith if you believe in a great God. Hallelujah. I have this friend. I love him a lot. I'm not sure he's a believer yet. He's had lots of medical troubles. And when he does, he asks me to pray. And I do because I love him. And actually, I think God has helped him and maybe even healed him a few times, and he's still alive. And he'll say to me, Rick, your faith, your prayers have great power. He'll say, keep praying for me. And so I'll say to him, thank you, but my faith has zero power. And my prayers have no power. I couldn't heal a mole. Nothing. I keep telling him, Al, I'm praying to the one with all the power. He's the one that's doing this, not me, not my prayers, not my faith, him. And I'm thanking him for it. So when someone says, I can see that your faith is very important to you, just say thank you and say, actually, it's Jesus who's very important to me. It's not about my faith. It's about him. Have faith in God. That's the whole point here today. He's the one with all the power. He can do it. Now, since Mary Jill is here, which is so great for the wedding, I asked Mary Jill to come and share part of this message today, and she's going to come right now and do that. Where'd you go? There you are. And I'm excited about what she's going to share. We talked about it, so let's welcome her and hear some more about have faith in God. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. Can you hear me, everyone? It's good to be home. I am a blessed person because there's a number of places on earth I can call home. And this is one of my favorites. And I just returned from a place I called home in Hungary. And I bring greetings from Pastor Tomas Rocky, especially to Brother Dick B. and Rick. He sends his love and his greetings. And I was there for his first service in his brand new building. And it's a big deal to own your own church building in Hungary. And we had a wonderful time together. And Rick, thanks for inviting me to talk to the family. So I'm going to try to be Rick's living parable of faith. And I do have some faith stories I could tell. And I may do that. And I may preach a little bit. The brothers have given me my liberty today. And I'm glad to be here. I want to tell you, I have to weave in this a few of the things that have been going on in my own life because they kind of underline some things of faith. And last year, the year of 2005, was a pretty spectacular year in Hungary. And I suspect it was a pretty spectacular year in the body of Christ because we find that we're not alone. And it's very comforting when we discover we've been going through some very similar things, even though we're half the world away from each other. One of the things that happened early in the spring was there a word from a prophet, and he said that the river of God has changed course. The river of God has changed course. And it was like that. And from the minute that word was spoken, all sorts of things started shaking and changing and moving. People who were going to live in the east side of the country moved to the west side of the country. Ministries that had been on the field in Europe for 35 years closed their doors. They said, what we used to do doesn't work today. And we don't know what will work today. And until we know, we're not going to just sit here and take your money in and pretend to do busy work. A lot of courage that took. A lot of courage that took. And a lot of change came to a lot of people. And I want to talk about that today because from the time that word has been spoken, I could see it happen in front of my face that we entered a new time. We entered a time of transition. I'm sure you've heard this word before because the body of Christ is in a time of transition. But women have some knowledge about transition in birthing things. Now the kingdom of God is learning some things about transition and birthing. And transition is that final stage before the birth. But it is the hardest stage before the birth. That's when your wife says things to you you never expected to hear. That's when the doctors, they don't even want to be in the room. The baby's uncomfortable. Everybody's out of sorts because this is a high-pressure, painful time. Now, I think some of us are out of some of that pain and pressure, but what God has done is, and what he wants to do, is birth a new thing. Now, here we have our little intellectual yet pea brains who think they know what a new thing is. Does anyone here know what a new thing is? Because, you know, if it's really new, you don't have a clue. That rhymes. That's kind of, if it were really new, you don't have a clue. But God says in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, behold, I do a new thing. But I want you to know, and now is the time. And I'm speaking to you today, a now is the word, a now time. This is a now time. So I think, you know, we don't all go through things at the exact same time and the exact same rate, but I think actually we're through some of the worst pain, pushing, stretching, contracting time. And there's a lot of people that find themselves, whoop, here I am in a new place. And this door here is shut. Shut, closed, tight. Now, I think sometimes your attitude to that happening shows a bit about your faith in God. How great you think he is. How well you know him, what kind of journey you've been on. And has it been one of faith? Now, I work in Eastern Europe. This is the seat of walking in reason and intellect. And you could open a Bible school tomorrow in Budapest and be very successful because the Hungarians like to sit and be taught and learn. But they're getting in a tricky place because they like to hear new things. And then they drop all the old things and the good things. And that's a whole nother story. But I'm talking about when you pass out of the old to head towards the new. You have to be willing to leave something behind. You may not be real willing, but what happens if you're going from the old to the new is you have to leave things behind. You have to change. And it's important your relationship to these things that are closing down in your life. What happens is you enter into this corridor, and things are new, and things are different. And how many people are in that place now, that things have closed, and you're in a new place, but you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's about. You don't know where the doors are. You don't know where the windows are. You have hope. You have hope in a future. You have hope in the promises of God, but it's way out there someplace, and on good days, you have a little beam of light, right? And you think, I think I know something today. Hallelujah! It's a good day. I think I know something. But God is doing very exciting and unexpected thing. This is a year of surprises for his people. Surprises for his people. That's why we have to reassure ourselves with these wonderful messages that God is good. He's a good dad. He's got good things for us. He has plans. He has purposes. He has a destiny. Do you know he has good things for this church? He has plans. He has purposes. He has destiny. He is not finished yet. But what worked how many years ago? 40, 45 years ago? What worked then? It doesn't work today. It needs to be retooled. It needs to have change. And we're all kind of like, it's a little messy, folks. Because if it's really new, we don't really know what it is. So we have to be willing to be a little messy ourselves, and it's not all neat, and you can't answer all the questions. And I've had this wonderful experience recently that I put out a newsletter for the first time, and I can't tell you how many years. And just as soon as it went to print and possibly got into your homes, what happened? Changed. Changed. Now, I could moan and cry, and I've done this in front of closed doors before. I put my back to it, and I put my hands like this, and I thumped my feet and had myself a good little tantrum. But it didn't help, and I was the worse for it. So now I go, well, yahoo! It must be something new. It must be an adventure. It is an adventure. God wants us to have an adventure. God wants us to have a living faith, a vibrant faith, a fruitful faith, a fun faith. What is the kingdom of God made out of? Joy and peace. Joy and peace. And there's tests of faith, like, what's your joy level? What's your peace level? When you're blind and you know it's closed and you hope there's something ahead of you and you don't know what's on the side of you. Faith. We need a great faith, a good faith. God is doing that in us. Why? It's because he loves us so much. In Hebrews it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But God wants us to please him. He loves us. He loves his kids. He wants us to please him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to praise him. And he's orchestrating all these really interesting, unusual opportunities for you to please him. But it's going to require faith. Amen? So God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. I had a post-abortion Bible study I did for the last 2 years. And on the last night, we had a reunion this fall. And God gave us this scripture in Isaiah twice, this Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. And if there's any group of people on the face of the earth, women on the other side of abortion and getting restoration in God and healing from God and forgiveness and seeing the mercy of God, they need this word. Forget those things that are behind you. Forget those things. Forget those things. Don't look there anymore. Don't hold your head down over it. There's things in our past that our heads are down and we don't want anybody to know about, but God says, forget those things. You come to me, you get forgiven, you get cleansed, you get set free, you get set on the path. God wants us to know his ways. It's what most of these things we're going through are about. He wants us to know his ways. In Psalm 103, it said that to the children of God, he showed his acts. Do you know there's a place that we need to see his acts also? And to the children of Israel, he showed his acts. But to Moses, his friend, he showed his ways. His ways are higher. His thoughts aren't like ours. His ways are higher. And that's God's desire for us, to know his ways, to know his ways. And it's a great adventure. It's a great adventure. I'll give you an example of something that happened in, I've had this guest house. Well, it started out, I had a place to live, and so many people came, I had to get bigger quarters so they'd be more comfortable. And so I had this guest house, and we operated it from 1999. And for the last 2 years, I'd been praying about it. God, what about this? What about this? It doesn't seem to fit. The people changed. The traffic that came to me, the needs changed. I couldn't get exactly the right people to maintain it for me and host people. And in this kind of ministry, I had a call to do that for many years, and I did it with grace and joy. And then the opportunity got passed to someone else, and I was grateful. But then it just wasn't working out. So we prayed about it. We sought God. The things were changing. We said, yes, it's time to close the guest house. Now, I give you this just for an example of how things happen. In June, we had the busiest month we had ever had in this guest house. In one weekend, we turned down 6 other parties of people to come and stay. So it seemed like a vibrant thing. And I was like, oh, God, we already gave our notice. They already got somebody else moving in. Have I made a big mistake here? Oh, God. For a few days, I thought, oh, no problem. I'll call the landlady and say, I want the place back. But she rented it right away, and there was no going back, you know, even if I wanted to. And there was a couple days I considered going back. But the door closed. Slam. Finished. So then I had to step out going, oh, God, I thought that was you. I thought that was you that wanted me to do that, and I did it. And, oh, now I'm not sure because the circumstances and blah. And, oh, God, help me, because if I made a big mistake, you know how you go through that guilt and you made a big mistake and, oh, people are going to be upset with you and, oh, you got other people to answer to and, oh, let me take the next step because it's over and I can't get out of it anyways. The door's shut, okay? From that day to this, we closed that June 29th, after we had the busiest month we ever had. From that day to this day, we have gotten 2 emails asking for a place to stay. It was over. It was over. God dried it up. Can I tell you what? I am glad I haven't had to pay the rent on that place with nobody wanting to be there. Amen? God knew what he was doing. But there's those places you get that you're like, oh, God. So then the next little test, it was a little easier to believe. This is God. This is because he just proved this was God. Now I'm out from under this daily kind of responsibility, not being able to plan anything too much ahead because the phone might ring or the email might go or something like that. And God tells me to do something that in my mind seemed very silly. 9 years I've been in Hungary. I was 8 at the time. And he said... He said, go to the university and study language this summer. Study language this summer? Now, God, you know, every class you ever went to, ABC, you go to a new mission field, you go to language class, right? That's what my reasoning said, and I had never done that. I mean, I'd taken a few courses. But because the guest house finished, I had this opportunity to immerse myself in language. Hallelujah. It was God. It was a great time. It was about the kingdom. It wasn't about my language. I mean, by the time I said, yes, I'm going to do it, I signed up to do it, and I took a step to do it, I realized, this is bait. Did you ever have God bait you? To take you to a place you wouldn't have thought of going? Because it didn't make much sense to you. Wasn't on your plan. You hadn't reported it to anybody. It wasn't a goal and a focus of yours. But God baits you. So this is fun to know because maybe some of you are being baited. Yeah. Ha ha, I think I'm going to do this. I reported on it. I got permission. I whatever. And then you take a step and you find out,
Wow, this is a whole new thing. This is a whole new thing. And I must tell you, I had the best summer of my life. The best summer of my life. Obeying God, driving down the road, joy for the unknown. And it was the best summer of my life because I was obeying God. And he told me, and it didn't really make sense, but it didn't matter. Because I have wonderful oversight, and they trust the Holy Spirit in me. That, yeah, it sounds a little funny, but she's not been too flaky up till now. And I don't want to disappoint them. But I'm getting a little flakier. It's not flakier. It's more radical. You know what? It's not. It's radical again. Do you remember the days when you were radical? Remember you were so radical, some days you scared yourself. Much less the people that watched you. They go, oh, you're so radical. John, you were always so radical. I know you're still radical, brother, but do you know what? Didn't you love those days you were just free to go and do like God said for you to do? Well, God wants to bring that back to you. He wants to stir that up in you today. That the old is gone. The new has come. It's fresh. Fresh, 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 fresh. Fresh, fresh. This corridor of transition can be fresh. It is fresh. It's new. It's brand new. And you say, God, I don't care how long I have to walk without a window. I don't care how long I have to walk without a door opening. You promise me, even when I'm blind, you'll take me by the hand and you'll take me in an unknown way. And church, God's taken us in an unknown way. And it's good for us, but it's not for us. It's for them. It's for them out there. Say, you know, I remember the first time I came to this place and I never saw a church like this. This was not my experience. This was a new thing. And it was a new thing. And I became new. My life changed because I saw what you had that was fresh for me and new for me. And there is, when I went to the university this summer, there was 350 students from all over the world studying Hungarian. Now, Hungarian's the second hardest language in the entire world, and people did it for fun. Now, I mean, can I tell you something? It wasn't fun. I did an intensive 7 hours a day. It wasn't fun, but yes, it was. It was a joy. God just did something inside me I didn't even know needed doing about education. And being a kid again, it was wonderful. But here I am, 350 students, four Christians. Two of us, one was living with me, so we knew about those two. One went to class with one, we found her, and we found the fourth one. Four of us, Christians, 350 people on this campus, and we discovered this to me was momentous. I'm on the mission field, what, how many did we decide, 14 years or so? And I realized my life had gotten suddenly insulated with Christians. Now, I have people that, periphery people, that don't know the Lord yet, but I mean, I'm really kind of insulated with Christians. And I step out here into the university and I realize I need to find some subjects to talk about. I can't say keep the victory. I remember when I was unsaved and somebody said to me, keep the victory. I'm like, huh? Huh? This woman is a little demented. Keep the victory. I mean, some of this stuff doesn't work out there. We need a little retooling and a little willingness to change and a little flexibility. And we need to be a little more adaptable and have to read the paper and find out some things that are going on. Anyways, I'm at the university. Oh, did anybody read the paper today? Because Doonesbury had a faith. The Doonesbury cartoon was about faith. And it talked about faith and reason colliding. Because reason does not believe there's miracles. Reason doesn't believe it. A man of faith can believe in miracles without seeing, you know, a man of faith can believe in miracles. But a man of reason can't believe in miracles. Except for the 1980 Olympic hockey team was the bottom line. But anyways, even Doonesbury's talking about faith and reason. It's up on the screen here with God. Faith and reasoning. Okay, so we get to the university, and I'm discovering I have to have some new tools for this experience with all these unsaved people. And I also discover that they're not antagonistic to the gospel. They let me talk about Jesus. The first day in class, a girl said to me, "Excuse me, can you interpret dreams?" I said, "I know who does." And we had a great 2 hours together, and we went through some extreme discussions about this dream she had. It was God. God gave her this dream, and God did give me the interpretation, and whoo, it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And then I met this guy from Israel, and he still just kind of follows me around, eyes open like this. I mean, to this day, he goes, "But I'm a Jew. I can't become a Christian." I said, "Let's leave the C word out of our conversations, okay? You're born a Jew, you're going to die a Jew, but you can be a believer. You can be a follower. And you just stick with me, buddy." He's been to church, he's been to a church picnic, he's been to worship services. He still has his eyes kind of wide. We did a messianic Shabbat. He called me, he's coming for the weekend, and I said, "Oh, I've just been invited to a Shabbat. You want to go?" And he's going, "Give me a couple hours to think about it." It was a Friday night. Now me, I'm a Gentile. I didn't even know Shabbat was a time thing, and I never drove to this person's house before, and we're an hour late. And he finally goes, "The Shabbat's already started." I said, "It has? What? Shabbat started? Imagine that. Well, we're going to be late for Shabbat, but these girls know me, and we had Shabbat." And here's this unsaved Jewish guy. And he walks into this room, and there's my Jewish Hungarian friend, and there's her Ukrainian Gentile friend, and there's me, and there's him. So we've got an unsaved Hebrew, we've got a Messianic Hungarian Jew, we've got an American believer, getting more radical by the minute, and we've got this Ukrainian woman who is a believer in Jesus and works with the Jews. And now we've got the Shabbat candles and a little covering, and Kata saying the prayers, and then we say to Rami, "Would you pray?" "Sure, I'll show you how." He prays over the wine, he prays over the bread, and we are having ourselves a great time. Can you imagine this? Four people, four different nations, we're having this Jewish, Gentile, Messianic, unbelieving Shabbat. I mean, it's a good time following God. You don't know, when I got up that morning, I didn't know what was going to be ahead of me. Hallelujah. I mean, I could have planned something to do that day that sounded real good, but I was available. Hallelujah. So you could pray for Rami. The guy's confused, especially since he's more confused than he ever was since he met me. And he can't even understand what it is he likes about me. I can see his little eyes going, "Well, she's old enough to be my grandmother. It's not that." She's really not my type, but I can't hardly stay away from the woman. So I'm going, "Come on, little sheep. Just come along, mama. Mother in Israel. I'll be a mother in Israel. It's okay with me." Okay. And that was because of a door closing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, of course, I want to go back to university and never leave it. Because I have this dream interpretation with the New Age girl. And I've got this thing going with the Jewish guy. And I'm going like, "God, can I just sell it all and buy this field? Huh? Good Lord, can I sell it all and buy this field? Because there's something about this field." And there are spots on the earth today I thought were very special. Like your prayers get heard better and it's easier to witness like that. I thought it was this place. So I'm going to sell everything and go to this place. And then I start to have a series of things happen like it's every place. It's every place. It's here. It's out there. It's everywhere. And because why? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah! Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I start to get a taste of it again. Huh? It isn't that I forgot. It was I had a different assignment, and my assignment changes. Sometimes from this assignment to that assignment, you think, "Oh, that assignment must have been wrong, because this one is so different." But it's not. It's just God, he's the employment guy, you know? He said the assignment there is over. Now I don't go, "Oh, God, I didn't want to go over because I had my pension going for me." And I didn't want it to be over. Maybe in 4 years it'll be. No, when God says it's over, you better say, amen, Captain. I'm out of here as quick as I can be. So I thought, let me sell it all. I'm going to sell it all and move there. And so I said to God, could I please come back and not do 7 hours of language a week? A week. Please, could I come back and have more time to talk to the students? And God was like, yeah, that'd be okay. I'm like, hallelujah, I packed it up. You know my beautiful apartment in Budapest, which I loved? I packed it up. I didn't sell it, because I still love Budapest, and it's still important to me. But I packed it up, and I said, okay, I'm moving. And I'm kind of one of those persons that makes kind of a, somebody had a word for me once that I was a force to be reckoned with. I'm not sure what all that means, but I can give you a couple examples. So I decided to move. And I, you know, not the littlest person, when I move, you notice. And it made a wake. And these people said, if you're going, I'm going. So now there's three of us leaving Debertson. This is the launch. It turned out like I'm going, oh, look what happened. We just launched Certain Women. Well, it's because all these people were in the car with me. And we knew we'd do this someday. So we're launching Certain Women. And we got it all packed up. We're in the car. We're driving down the road. And I'm full of joy. And you know how when you're just so full of joy and you're not thinking about how you're going to pray? You're just full of joy in the Holy Spirit. And you pray one of those kind of strange prayers that go, oh, God, I'm on the road. I got it all packed up. I think I'm heading down here to Debertson and the university. But if you want me to go to the right, I want to go to the right. I want to be packing so light that if you said, take a right-hand turn at this corner, I'll take a right-hand turn at this corner. And I feel like, whoa, that was a great prayer. Wasn't that a great prayer? Wasn't that a great prayer? Oh, so moldable. I'd been praying that my heart again would be moldable. In the early years, I used to pray all the time, God, let my heart be moldable. Let it be pliable. I hadn't prayed that for a while, but, you know, God has a way of taking your old, hard, cracked heart and giving it a whack. And you go, I left with this little vulnerable thing, but it is more moldable and pliable. And I'm praying that, and I get to Debertson, and all these doors start flinging open. And I'm going, but the university! I wanted to go to the university 6 hours a week and talk to people! And all these doors start opening up. And so I'm going, God, hey, I'm yours. I'm yours. Earlier last year, I don't remember what it was, I was walking down Bachani Utsa, and I started singing a new song in English, so nobody even looked at me funny. And I'm singing this song about God. I'm going to lay my ear down on the door thing me. And you can pierce it with your all, because I'm not going free. I know I could go free, but I'm not going free. I laid my ear down. Poof. You poke it, I'm yours. I'm not leaving. You know that story about the bondservant that could have gotten free, could have had his freedom. And he said, Master, I love you. I love you. I love what you've given me. I love the life I have. I'm not going to go free. And when I prayed it, the chorus was kind of like, Jesus, you were pierced for my transgressions. You were pierced for my transgressions. What is this little hole in my ear to me? What you've done for me? God, I'll go. I'll do. I'll be. I'll stay. Sometimes you get talking about faith and you stir people up about faith and they think, I got to go to China. But you know, somebody has to go to Muldoon. Somebody has to go to Hillside. What? Somebody has to go to the kids. I got a new burden these days for the kids. They don't know family. They know their little games. They know their computers. They don't know real people. They have virtual friends. Ah! They need real people in their life. And I'm going, God, I'll go, I'll stay. That's faith. That's what kind of faith I want for you. To say, God, I'll go, God, I'll stay. I'll do, I'll be whatever you want me to be. God, I don't care if I'm in this dark place. It's your business. If sin got me in here, forgive me. And he does. He does. He's a God of mercy. He's got a hope. He's got a new chances. Whoa, new days, fresh, freshness in God. So I was going to talk about John 5, the Pool of Bethesda. It means a house of mercy. People, be a house of mercy. Come to church and expect something's going to happen. It could be today. We got a lot of promises something's going to happen. Ha! It could be today. It could be today. It could be just what we've been waiting for. You could hear from God. You could get a call. You could have an assignment. You could be released from assignment. You could have a shut door, which is an answer. You can have an open door. You can have a fresh start today. It could happen today. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. It could happen today. It could happen today. And let people see it in your life. When you're in that corridor, believe me, the people closest to you, they know what kind of faith you have. They know if you're having panic attacks. They know if you're kicking and screaming. Or they know if you have joy and peace. We serve a great God. He's doing a big thing in this earth. He's doing such a big thing, we don't know what it is, but we can be part of it. Amen. Good to see you guys. Bless you. Huh?
I like that you did better.
Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome. I'm just going to summarize, and then we're going to close. Season of faith, a year of faith. Thank you, Mary Jill, for all those great examples and encouragements. Words like risk and adventure and radical and surprises. Ooh, I hate that stuff. And it's all exactly what we're talking about. It's what we're talking about when we say a season of faith. It is what God is challenging us to do, to step out and be that way more. I want to be that way more, and I want this church to be a church of faith. But if she said, we're leaving something behind, I think you were over here when you said it, and there's a door closing behind us, and we're going from something to something new. If we're going towards faith and a season of faith, then what are we leaving behind that door? Fear, maybe? Have we been afraid? Some call it a poverty mentality. I've heard that. I've had friends say, Rick, Abbott Loop's had this poverty mentality. You know, just enough, just getting by, just barely. Is that what's behind us now? If it's been there, I want it behind us. How about you? Or maybe what's behind the door behind us is a feeling of knowing everything. It's been a long time since I felt like I knew everything. And back when I knew more, I was a happier Christian, and that's the truth. And I look back at those days and I think, man, that was pretty good. And I had a friend, a pastor friend, who wrote a book called Things I Learned Since I Knew Everything. And it was a good title and it was a good book. And he knew everything, then he had a heart attack. And it changed his life. Whatever's back behind that door back there, whatever we're moving to, I just want to say yes to the Lord. Because I do have faith in God. I've known God my whole life, and God is good, and He has been faithful, and He is great. And so having faith in God, to me, is not a stretch. Because you can have great faith if you believe in a great God. We've been sharing with you about Him today. In this season of faith, we want you to see God as greater and more wonderful and awesome than ever before.